Well, Lord, we just thank you for being with us tonight. We thank you, Lord, for to allow us to come together, for people from all over the world, actually, to come together in one accord and to be with you, Lord, and to talk about you and to praise you, Lord, and to glorify you, because we love you, Lord, and we love you, and we want to be with you, and we want to have you to guide us and direct us and show us the things that we need to know. And we just praise you, Lord. Lord, you're an awesome God. You're answering prayers like I've never seen them answered before. I guess it's because we've got so many wonderful people that love you, Lord, that are coming together in one accord, that we're seeing these great miracles internationally come to pass because of our prayers. And we just praise you, Father, for that. Thank you, Lord, that you're draining the swamp up there in Washington, D.C. You're draining the EU over there in Europe, looks like. People are getting out of that wholesale. And, Father, we thank you for that. I know that the elite are fighting back, but, Lord, they can't beat you. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that I don't know how this is all going to transpire, but you do. And we just trust you, Lord, and we put our faith in you. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're going to do tonight with each one of us, Lord. And we just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Let's see. Has anybody got a prayer request? Let me find my paper. Anybody got a prayer request?
Yes, I do, Michael. It's Debbie.
Okay, Debbie, go ahead.
Yeah. We prayed about our friend before.
Yeah.
Okay. She's in a nursing home.
Yeah.
In Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Oh, I've shared with her about her before when we prayed. She's blind. She's been blind all her life.
Stroke.
And she had a stroke, and she's been like doing. She'll do real good, then she'll get a setback. She'll get another setback and another small stroke and other problems, and just got out of the hospital a couple weeks ago. And we went and saw her. We try to get to see her every 3 months or so. And she just needs so much prayer, because she's always was real mighty in the Lord when she was walking and up and about and real prophetic over people's lives, and real, she's a real prayer warrior, but she's just getting weak. And I've been sharing a lot of, have we're listening to David Eel's teachings, and right now we're doing, starting daily to do the real good news. We're starting with 01 today, we did, and she really liked it. She really likes everything she hears that he does. So, and her faith, you can tell, gets built. She gets really excited.
Awesome.
So I just want to pray that, you know, for God to do a work in her. So Denny said he would pray.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we're just we've been trusting you. We still do, Lord, for yes, Nancy, Jesus. God, for healing to her body, Lord Jesus.
Yes,
pray that you would just raise her up in her soul, Lord, and her spirit, God. Give her just living the condition she's in, Lord, with the stroke, yes, and everything. Jesus. Just heal her up, Lord God, so that she can function again, Lord God. Just strengthen her physically, Lord Jesus. Work in her spirit. Lord, put your word in her spirit again, that she may give it out in prophecy to those around her, Lord.
Lord,
God, just lift her up to you. Just, and Lord, we're trusting you for healing. Heal her body. Heal her lungs, the infection that's in there, and her arm, and the result from the stroke and everything. We just command healing in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. We thank you, God. We thank you for it. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in Nancy. Thank you, Lord, as she reads, as they read and they study real good news together, that she gets that bold faith, Lord, and that she will be infused with your faith and trust in you, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that she is on the way to recovery already.
Amen, Lord.
Jesus, and we praise you, Lord, because we have already prayed the prayer of faith for her. Didn't pray? We know, we believe, and we know it. We know what's going to happen in Jesus' name. We know it already has happened. All right. Thank you, Lord. I believe. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Hey, Robert.
Good evening, sir. Hello.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, go ahead, Robert.
I'd like to lift up my cousin, Lee Coker.
Okay.
I'm sure he's lost. He's got a spirit of suicide working on him. He served as a Blackwater mercenary for some time. He did some things and as a private contractor in military functions that he can't get out of his head. I'm not going to say what it is because it's not my place, but there's things that he's dealing with that breaks him down when he shares it with me. He's got a spirit of suicide on him, and he's just 50, 51 years old. He's been promoted to a job as a general manager of a record dealership out in Las Vegas. But he's not married. He's on his own. He's estranged pretty much from his family, as Cokers tend to be. And he's my second cousin. I just want to lift him up in prayer. So, Father, we just lift up Lee Coker to you, Lee Hampton Coker. You know who he is, Lord. God, we just rebuke and bind up the evil sense memories that come to his mind. We bind up these imaginations, these are the things that he has done in Jesus Christ's name. We bind them to failure. We bind them to nothingness, Lord God, and we ask you to take those imaginations, those memories, and you put them in the sea of forgetfulness, Lord. Father, we loose the spirit of the Holy Spirit into Lee with the fruit of the Spirit, Lord God, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. And we, Father, we loose the peace that surpasses human understanding into Lee Coker, Lord. I loose godly sorrow, which, Father, working repentance unto salvation into Lee Coker, Lord God. To your glory, Father, to your glory, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. We rebuke you again. We bind that spirit of suicide to failure. We cancel this assignment on Lee Coker. You will fail, you spirit of suicide. You will not succeed. Your assignment is canceled. You can just forget it. This man, I believe in faith. And I'm going to profess it in faith that he's going to become a born-again Christian in your army. A unique one, as we all are. We are all unique in our own way, Lord God. And we just ask you in Jesus Christ's name to move in your mercy and grace in Lee Coker's mind, body, spirit, soul, and job. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just hook our faith up with Robert, and we believe that Lee is not only has he been saved, but he has been delivered. And Father, we thank you for placing bold and great faith in that man, and he's going to become a great man of God. And we praise you, Father, for his testimony, for his great and bold testimony that you're going to give him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father, for Lee Coker. Amen.
Hey, Robert, real quick, you know, if I grab something with my right hand, right, and I open it up and there's not what I thought it was going to be in there, and it keeps me mad, right, then everything I'm still holding on to is going to be indicative of that. So where you believe that you're doing something with your cousin, where he believes he's doing something, next time you talk to him, if he thinks he deserved better than what he got for his reward, that's going to be a catalyst. You know what I'm saying? So you're never going to be able to get over what actually happened, the things you did, because you didn't get that reward that you thought you deserved. I'm not a mime. You're going to have to put the, you're on mute.
I'm not following what you're saying, Brother Jeremy, as far as better than he deserves.
You're not, or you are?
No, I'm not. I'm not following what you're saying.
If I wanted a promotion, right, and I did some things to get me that promotion, and I didn't get the promotion, but I still had the things on my heart. See what I'm saying? Right? So if I did something to, in the means of being obedient and beating and to excel in the career that I was at, and that never came to pass, I'm still left with the things that I did. So they go hand in hand, right? So there's going to be a bitterness there for what he didn't receive. That's just what I feel led to tell you. There's a bitterness there for what he didn't receive, and you might want to talk to him about that.
Because you're talking about now unforgiveness, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes. That's okay, right? Issue, yeah, between he and his family. It's been going on 2 years since his father died, and they haven't not a single member of his extended family. He's got about 4 brothers and 2 sisters. Not a single one of them has called him. Not one time. He's the baby of the family. So, yeah, he's dealing. He thinks he deserves better. I know he deserves better. And so, but that's allowed he and I to really connect. So, that's now that I understand how it can apply, that's a good word, Jeremy. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, you're welcome. Just one more thing, because we're called to be the light of the world. But unless Jesus Christ is the brightest light of our life, it's not going to happen, right? And so where he's struggling with that, you know, and I'm just, what's coming to me, I just want to tell you, a light never has to prove it's on. You guys see it. It's on. It never has to prove that it's on, right? So that's a milestone that I personally and other people have to get over, specifically in that case with unforgiveness, that you have to prove your worth to them, right? So just forgive them and expect nothing in return.
Yeah, I've gone over that with him several times. Yes, it's a process.
Just saying.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes when we have an unsaved relative, I don't know if you have a real good talking relationship as far as talking godly things with him. If you do, that is great. But if you don't, the best way to do it is to do just what we just did a while ago, and that's pray for him, and you're going to see a miracle.
Thank you. I expect in faith a miracle in his life.
Amen. I'm looking for it. I'm expecting it. Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm in a perfect agreement, brother. Thank you.
Amen. All right. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else got a prayer request? What about a testimony or a praise report? I don't see no hands raised here. Go ahead, Matt.
yeah, I just want to praise the Lord. We prayed a couple months back about our car having noise from the back, and I finally got some time, and I took apart the back seat, and I saw what the problem was, and I got the part, and I prayed how the whole thing would go, preparing it. It didn't take very long. Everything went quick and easy, and there's no more noise, so I want to praise the Lord for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Because I got the microphone off here. Let's see what's going on here. Ah, that's why. You can't now, can you? Yes, you can.
Oopsies.
I don't know. We're getting some kind of feedback from something because it keeps making this weird noise. I can't hear you now, Michael.
Okay.
Well, what I had both my microphone on the headset and one on the PC, on the Mac. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what you were hearing, their feedback. Thank you. All right, anybody else got a testimony, praise report, or prayer request? I got a little bit of a testimony. We have some right-of-way tree trimmers that are working our road here, and we stopped. They've got a telescopic saw on that thing, and they're reaching up. They're getting a lot of limbs off, clearing right-of-way for the electric company. And we stopped to ask them if they wouldn't bring us some chips from their shredder. They got a chipper, and they blow it into the back of a big old ton and a half truck with a box on it. And they said, yeah, we'll bring it up there. So we showed them where to bring it up here on top of the mountain. And they did. And this morning, I heard a peck. As y'all probably know, we have a morning prayer meeting where there's anywhere from 10 to 17 people come every morning up here. And they just park everywhere out there on the side of the mountain. And they were wanting to know. The guy came to the door, front door, and he pecked on the door while we were in the middle of our prayer meeting. And he said, wanted to know how much longer we were going to be, because they wanted to go to work on our particular drive. We've got a real long drive. It's probably, I don't know, a couple of, probably 400 or 500 feet long. And I told him, well, we can finish up here in the next 15, 20 minutes, you know. He came in. I said, come on in, Brad. And he came in. And, oh, man, he said, whew. And I saw him. Well, me and David, he was stuttering around there a little bit. He said, I said, you could join us if you want to. Then he couldn't say much. He was just wide-eyed. Anyway, I said, or you can go on back down. We'll be through here in a minute, and we'll get done, you know. And y'all can come on up and do your work. And so we got done. And then David and I had to go run some errands in town. And the guys were working out there on the driveway. And we finally came back, and we stopped down there and talked to Brad just for a minute. They were down at the bottom of the hill finishing up. And I stopped and talked to him. I said, well, how'd it go? He said, man, he said, I got to tell y'all. He said, this morning when I went in there, he said, I felt the anointing of God all over me. He said, I've been wanting to preach the word of God all day long. I said, well, go ahead, brother. That'd be fine, you know. But I told him, I said, Brad, you could come up here anytime you want to, son. And we'll be glad to have you in our prayer meeting. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. It was awesome. It was awesome to see him be blessed like that because of, the prayer group there. Awesome. All right. Anybody else? Chad, are you on here? Is that you, Chad?
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome. You want to start us out with what we agreed on to talk about last night or night before last?
Sure, I can do that. You want me to just kind of share my thoughts there and
sure. See
where the Lord takes it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I've just been pondering, the thought for a while Ephesians 2:6. I think it is, that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, and we know that. And of course, we who have been studying here along with the UBM teachings for a while, know that in our walk of faith, there's so much that we have by faith, whatever measure of faith the Lord gives us. And then whatever we have by manifestation is that is the fruit of that faith that has matured in us, those areas we've endured in. And so I've been pondering the connection in the scriptures between Ephesians 2:6 and James 1:2. James verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2 says that, blessed are you when you rejoice, says when you encounter all joy, when you fall into manifold temptations. Because it's necessary for the proving of our faith and to work patience and all that good fruit. And I just paused for a while as I was thinking on what that verse is saying. And I started thinking, why does it say fall? You know, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And I know that is by faith. We believe that we, by faith, have the fullness of that. And we're entering into it as we endure through our trials and walk with the Lord. And yet there's also a manifestation of that, that we, that we come into more and more. And so my thinking has been, and my question to the Lord has been, why does it say fall? And I know it's, from what little bit I understand of that, is it's speaking of, the soul realm. You know, our spirit is with Christ. We receive a new spirit when we, surrender to the Lord, and then our soul has to be transformed and saved. And so I've just been pondering that and asking the Lord for some more understanding and revelation on what exactly that means. Why is it put like that? When you fall, blessed are you, or rejoice when you, count it all joy when you fall into manifold temptations. And so I just thought we'd talk about that and see if the Lord would reveal some more here.
All right. Anybody else have something they want to talk about there?
Hey, Chad, you want me to look that up?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Hey, real quick, before you guys jump into that, if somebody could explain to me, or just maybe later on, what that doctrine is that consistently places Paul versus Jesus. Anybody know what that is? I'm getting tired of seeing that everywhere. There's people jumping.
Run that by me again.
There's YouTube videos and people continuing to proclaim Paul is the only apostle of the new age of grace, and then they place Paul versus Jesus and play one versus another. And it's spreading. It's not just one guy. I've seen it multiple different places this last week. So I'm curious as to what that is.
I don't know. I've never heard of it.
I mean, it's obviously another Jesus, but at the same time, I don't know its doctrine. I don't care to know it. I'm just wondering where it came from, and can we rebuke them?
Amen.
you know what I'm talking about, Robert. It's annoying, man.
It's a hatred of the Word of God. It's an attack on the inerrancy and the Word of God as it stands right now. I've seen that before where people will attack Paul. And just what you're saying, they'll compare the verses and say, Paul's in disagreement with Jesus and vice versa. But it's insane. It's just like all this other stuff that's coming out, and because it's out there on the internet, and anybody can go anywhere and look at it. It's crazy because it sounds cool. It's cutting edge, but it's a lie from the pit of hell. There's no contradiction between the words of Jesus Christ and the words of Paul.
Right. Same Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. And what it is I think it started from the Jewish roots, the Messianic Hebrew roots, error.
Okay. That makes sense.
Because Paul preaches grace, he goes to the Gentiles. He says, let no one judge you for your holy day or your feast or what you do.
Yeah, okay.
In short, and so if they can destroy Paul and put Paul aside, then that just leaves room for, well, you've got to follow the feast. You got to – so all that stuff that is set aside in Acts chapter 15.
That's one of them. And then the opposite is the one where Paul – they literally worship him like a deity. And they exalt Paul and say he's the only apostle, right? They negate Peter. They negate – I mean, seriously, you don't have to be – they regard repentance as works, right? Repentance is works. And so, therefore, you don't have to repent. You don't have to be baptized. You're just saved because you believe so. It's not even the once saved, always saved. It's just even worse than that. It's, hey, I can snort coke and I'm saved. It's sad, man. It really. But they'll go out there and they proclaim it. And it sounds so good because people have itching ears. And, man, they put something up and then everybody flocks to it. Oh, it just sounds so great. Let me put this in me. Run far, far away.
Well, there's another doctrine out there that says that along the same lines there, only they want to take Paul out of the Bible altogether.
Yeah.
you know, and that's just the same stuff. They don't want to adhere to the scriptures. That's what it is, just like Robert was talking about.
Sorry, I wasn't trying to interrupt. I just been irritated because I've seen it several different places throughout the week, and I'm why?
I've never heard that, but I don't doubt it.
Yeah, I'll send them to you, and we'll talk all about it later on.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay.
Sounds like there's a lot of division and cell splitting going on out there.
Absolutely. That's some of that grand delusion, isn't it?
Oh.
Great delusion.
Lots of deceptions out there.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Anybody else want to take a shot at the thing that Chad was talking about? And I'm trying to find my notes here. Ah, okay, here it is. James 1 and 2. That was what I was looking for.
Are we unmuted?
Yeah, you're unmuted.
Okay. Should I go ahead? Yeah?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I looked at that word fall, and it means to fall into something that is all around us, to be surrounded with to be among or fall among or fall into. So these temptations are, if we live in the world, you know, they're all around us. I just want to read in my translation those few verses. It says, "My brothers, consider yourselves fortunate when all kinds of trials come your way, for you know that when your faith succeeds in facing such trials, the result is the ability to endure. Make sure that your endurance carries you all the way without failing, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So it seems the trials and struggles, God has a purpose of using them to perfect us, because we have to overcome these things. And, you know, he gives us the grace to overcome them, and that's just part of that process of perfecting us. So he says, you know, count it a joy, or, you know, in some translation, mine says, consider yourself fortunate when you do fall into these, because God is using them to perfect you. So, amen.
All right, that's good. How many of you do that? How many of you count it all joy when you fall into those manifold temptations when they come around? Those circumstances come up and they dictate that you just sit back, kick back, rest in the Lord, and know that he's doing the work. You know? Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, yeah, that's something the Lord's been teaching me. You know, instead of murmuring and complaining through all these trials that he gives us, and then seeing the end result as well. I remember a trial that I went through that it was really a really hard trial for me, and I was getting to the point of giving up. And then, you know, hearing David on that audio saying, keep with the faith, keep going. You know, he encourages us, you know, he brings us to a point to where we're broken. And then, you know, he'll bring us back up from that point as well. You know, he'll put us there, but then he'll bring us out too. So, I mean, it's becoming easier to see how he puts these trials in our lives, to see how we act, see how we believe, to maybe even get rid of some sin or some flesh in the process. I just wanted to say that.
Amen. So what's his ultimate goal? What's God's ultimate goal when he does these things?
To perfect us.
Amen.
To get rid of all this flesh.
Yeah.
get rid of the world, get rid of the flesh, and get rid of the unbelief and doubt.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, it says, the verse of James 1, 2, it says that count all joy when you fall into manifold temptations. And I posted the definition from that Webster's 828 for manifold. Knowing that, so we can have assurance, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. So the proving, what does it mean? Like when you prove gold, you test the quality of it. You assay gold or you assay silver to test the quality and purity of it. And so what he's doing, he's testing the purity and quality of our faith when we fall into these manifold temptations, knowing that the testing of our faith is going to work patience.
That's the ultimate goal, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. That's good. Anybody else?
I just had a quick thought, Michael.
Okay.
You know how man, you know, he refines gold and silver, and, you know, they stamp, 0.99% pure. Well, the Lord wants to make us so pure that we're transparent. So you don't see us, you see Jesus in us. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I listened. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I listened to a compilation that Sermon Audio does on the web, and he uses Leonard Ravenhill, Jim Cimbala, Derek Prince, and a bunch of them. And one of them was talking about 99% of something. I think it was like if you had 99% of all of the air flights in the world, that 1% would be a bunch of them. I don't remember what the number was, but a bunch of them falling out of the sky, killing folks. So God's not looking for 99 percentile. He's looking for 100%. And it was an awesome thing. If you get to look at it, maybe at the next conference call, I can bring it up and let y'all listen to it. It's awesome. Really is. God wants 100%, doesn't he? He doesn't want 99%. He don't want 30%, 30-fold. He wants 100%.
He wants 100%, but not only 100%, transparent 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
People see Jesus in us and not us.
What's that, Robert? Psalm 66:10, right? For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, you know what's interesting about that, and I don't know if you guys have heard that story, but how they used to refine gold back in the day of the Jews is they take it and they burn off all the dross, and then they get it, and when they polish it, if they could see their own reflection in it, they'd verify it would be pure. That's what God does with us, right? So he burns off all the dross, everything we put on ourselves, he burns off through persecution that we have to have joy in. Yay. And then once we get all that, then, you know, he burns it off, and then he sees himself in us. So we're brought down low, like we said earlier on. But then we have the confidence because we rest in him. And then it doesn't matter what people think of you, because your root is already within you, right? His root is within you, right? You two are one. As Jesus said, my Father's in me and I in the Father, right? So you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're judged of no man. It doesn't matter to you at all. And so therefore you have the confidence to, again, be the light. Right, so it's awesome because you see that amazing reflection of him in us, and you know, you just know it. You know it when you walk in. You know, when I was younger, we used to notice people, and we walk in. You guys do this all the time, guys. You walk into a bar, you size everybody else up. Women walk in, and they see, you know, they see who's going to be the dominant person in the room. They just kind of have that it factor. They've coined that, called it the X factor, right? They have that it factor that just brings everybody into them, right? But if they're not living for God, what's around them? The same thing's true when you live for God and you proclaim Jesus Christ, he's within you and he is the light. And man, people just can't help it. They look at you. Now, it might offend them because they don't like, you know, they'll want to pick up. That's just a demon. Love them anyway. Right. But still, they'll come to you. And it's awesome when, you know, I have my days where that works out for me. Other, I have days where it does not work out for me. And I don't want to be around anybody at all, ever, get away from me, right? And that's just the way it is, you know? And so I'm still struggling back and forth, and we're always supposed to, you know? So praise God, because once he solidifies who he is in you, you're solidified in him, all things are possible through Christ Jesus who strengthens me.
Amen. There's going to come a point in time if, as we strive and we endure in this race that we're in, and we renew our mind with that word of God, that there won't be an off day. And we won't have an off day. We're going to be straight with God. We're going to be dead men walking. That's what we're going to be. Praise God.
Think about it. If you're dead and somebody kicks a corpse, what happens?
Nothing. He just shakes whatever you kick. Yeah, nothing happens. He don't get up.
You're dead.
Yeah.
So when they kick you, nothing happens. It doesn't matter.
Don't matter. It doesn't matter. And that's what we have to learn. We have to learn that. If you got something, Chad, go ahead, brother.
I was just thinking, I just say, well, you know, and if we're alive on earth, we might say ouch, but we don't get unforgiveness, so we're dead to self. That's good. I was looking at 2 Peter 1:19. It says, we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that you take heed as to a lamp shining in a dark place, or can be rendered a murky place or a squalid place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, which we understand to be the manifestation of Christ shining through us, that shining through that transparency that we're talking about. And, you know, for some years I was asking the Lord, seeking him on what my part is in this purification process, especially when he really caused 2 Corinthians 7:1 to stand out to me. It's, you know, it says, beloved, we, let's see, what does it say? Beloved, yeah, it's talks about cleansing yourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, knowing that we have these promises. And so it stood out to me that I have a part in this, cleansing myself from all defilement of flesh and spirit, but yet I knew that was somehow, you know, I had to be by the grace of God, and it has to be by his grace. And yet I've got to actively engage in that. And so linking that here with 2 Peter 1:19, as that lamp shines on these dark places of my soul, that I, you know, look to the Lord and trust him to bring me through, trust him to purify me, and yet actively holding fast to the word that I know in my heart through the trial, to let the cleansing take its effect, you know, to gain the wisdom to recognize the trial and to have the light for when, like, you know, like Matthew said, when he gets into a trial. And I've been seeing this in myself a lot lately, is see, how can I put this? I found a lot of times when I get into a trial during the day and things start to rise up in me, is at first I don't recognize it as a trial, because a lot of times it's very subtle. You know, it can be frustration from being stuck in traffic, maybe to, you know, just something that happens that in the natural is seems really petty. It looks really petty from the outside, but inside it stirs up a lot of frustrations because of all these other things that are going on in my heart, you know, and all these other things that are going on in my soul, maybe other things that are going on in my life, things I've got to get done in that day. It's usually, you drop the stone in the water, it affects a lot more than just the area it falls in. And so it's affecting a lot of things throughout my soul. It sends this ripple effect through my soul. And a lot of times I don't recognize it. Although the Lord's helped me to get better at it, I'm not recognizing it as a trial at first. But then as soon as I do, I find myself more able to rejoice in it, to yield to the Lord, and then realize, hey, this is the, I've been praying for this, you know, I've been praying for cleansing. I've been praying for more of the Lord. And well, here it is. So I can rejoice in this pain now instead of whine and cry about it. And even though my flesh is hurting, my soul is aching, my heart can rejoice. And, you know, hold fast to the word that that I've thus far apprehended. And I cry out to the Lord and ask him to bring that word to my remembrance in the trial, because that's, you know, I'm finding that such a, it's such a breath of fresh air. It's such a, it's a living water that that comes, that I find coming to life in me and then cleansing away the murkiness in my soul, that squalid, putrid, those squalid, putrid areas that give place for other creepy crawlies to crawl around in there. And you know, like anger and rage and, you know, just all kinds of stuff. And of course that can apply to many different areas. And so the Lord's been helping me to, you know, find the connection between this cleanse yourself from all defilement of flesh and spirit and holding fast to the word that he's put in me, yielding to that word, trusting him to bring that word to my remembrance, trusting him to give me the grace to submit to that word that he brings to my remembrance. And then in that, I'm finding a lot more joy, and I'm finding the ability and the grace to rejoice in my trials, because I'm realizing that trial is that water of the word. In that trial, as the Lord brings his word to my remembrance, that water is coming forth like a fountain and cleansing away that stuff in my soul that the Lord doesn't want there and that I don't want there. And so when I'm thinking on this term fall, you know, falling into manifold temptations, I've been getting a picture, again, as you all are sharing on here, like my soul being dipped into this smelter, into this smelting pot, and it's bringing forth the dross and the heat of the trial. And it's for the purpose of that, you know, all that gunk and that junk being scraped away. So, praise the Lord. There's some more thoughts.
Amen. Praise God. You know, talking about those manifold temptations that we've been talking about, y'all remember when Paul was put in prison? I'm going to go ahead and quote Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, okay? Now, I would have you know, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the progress of the gospel, so that my bonds became manifest in Christ throughout the whole Praetorian guard and to all the rest, and that most of the brethren in the Lord, being confident through my bonds, are more abundantly bold to speak the word of God without fear. How many of us would have that positive outlook after being thrown in prison? You know, I'd be thrown in, if I got thrown in prison, I said, now, why did God allow this, you know, without thinking and just mouthing off, when in fact God put us everywhere we are for a reason. He put Paul in prison for a reason. He spread the gospel more in prison than he did when he was out of prison. Praise God. And he put him in there, and he understood that. He was telling him. He understood that the devil didn't have nothing to do with that. That was God threw him in prison for a reason. And these negative, we call negative circumstances that he puts us in, is for a reason. And if when we get the message that God is sovereign, he is sovereign over every aspect of our life. Everything that comes up around us is God, and it's for a reason. It's to get our eyes on him, or to do whatever it is that he told us to do, right? And so that's something we all need to bear in mind when these circumstances come up around us, that we think that the devil is trying to take us out of our nice little cushiony place, you know. Well, no, that's God. All
you
right.
You know, Michael, you're provoking a whole lot of thoughts here, if I could share a little more.
Yes, sir.
Understanding, you know, I'm finding more that really understanding God a lot more and who he is, and yielding to who he is, yielding to his standards of righteousness, and so much of what I don't understand of him, surrendering that to him also, and allowing him to reveal himself, knowing that he's good, you know, trusting that he's good, that he is righteous, and yet knowing he permits a whole lot of evil and horrible things, but it's always somehow for good. You know, as I was out doing some spiritual warfare with a brother some time ago, we were praying against the spirits that are, the Lord had us praying against ruling spirits of the sex trade here in this area, because it's very prominent, but God is doing he's doing a lot of good here, praise the Lord, and around the country. I've been so encouraged to hear about things that are getting exposed. And we were, the subject came up for a little bit because I had, you know, cried out to the Lord and agonized in prayer on, Lord, why would you allow these little girls? I know it's not just girls, but it's primarily, be kidnapped and brought into these horrible, horrible situations. And just, you know, the Lord had to bring me through that agonizing in prayer and come to a place of peace so that I could really trust him and not have any anger about the situation, not have any anger, unforgiveness towards people involved with doing this kind of thing, and you know, be able to forgive them and pray for them too. And Aaron said something, I was actually out with Brother Aaron. during this time, and he said something that really made sense and caused it to click. You know, just he brought forth some things that were stirring in my soul and put it out there really good. And he said, well, you know, think about it this way. He said, imagine these young children growing up in families that, you know, on the outside, they look like they have it all together. You know, that the parents are, from a worldly point of view, they love the children from a soulish standpoint. You know, say they have money, they have some semblance of wealth, and the kids are raised in these homes, and everything's fine, everything goes fine. They have their happy school years and their happy family life, but they grow up and they're self-sufficient. They never come to the Lord, and then they end up in hell for eternity because of not surrendering to the Lord. But these little girls, these young children, are being broken to the utmost at a very, very young age, and God is rescuing many of them and will bring them forth and make them into vessels of honor, and they will never remember their suffering. You know, they'll live in eternity in joy forever and ever. And that just really made sense to me. You know, it brought into a lot more clarity some thoughts I had, because I know God is good, and I know he permits these things, and I know he has good in mind ultimately for you know, for his glory. And so that just made a lot of sense. And so I'm finding that understanding God's sovereignty and coming to really know him and yield to him and letting him bring the understanding really helps me endure better through my trials. And like you said, you know, Michael, why'd this happen? And getting all frustrating, because I often find that, or getting really frustrated, because I often find that the thoughts just come in like a flood and try to get me all disoriented and not really understand why the trial is there, not even understand that it is a trial. That's been one where the devil's been able to hoodwink me a lot, and then I'm almost through it, or I come through it and after failing, and I look back and, oh, that was a trial. Oops. You know, but the Lord's been helping me to recognize it a lot quicker. As I've been crying out for that, Lord, help me to recognize it right away so I can yield to you in that process. So that's really good. There's something on my heart that I've been wanting to share for some time on here, and I feel like now would be a good time, since we're talking about smelting and we're talking about this subject and ore and all that. If it'd be okay, I'd like to read it. It's not real long. It's called, it's out of the Crosswise book by Henry Groover called Visions of a Walker. And would that be okay if I read that real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It's called In the Hands of the Master Smelter. And this is a vision that was received by Henry Groover back in November of 1967. He's got three verses here, which I'll read, and then I'll read the vision. It says, let's see, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. That's Proverbs 17:3. That one's out of the King James. The next one is, as the refining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, and in parentheses it's got here, bringing forth all the impurities of the metal, so let a man be in his trial of praise. And then in brackets it's got, ridding himself of all that is base or insincere, for a man is judged by what he praises and of what he boasts. That's Proverbs 27, verse 21. And then, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the priests and refine them like gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord offerings in righteousness. And those last two, and that's Malachi 3:3, and those last two verses are from the Amplified Version. Okay, he says, in November of 1967, I was in the middle of a great trial. And one night, as I was crying out to the Lord while suffering great anguish of spirit, I saw a vision of a massive smelting pot filled with raw ore. As it reached the melting point, I could see the rock settling down into the molten ore. This all happened very quickly as the vision unfolded before my eyes. I understood by the Spirit that it was my job to watch that ore. Not only was I observing this scene, but somehow I was also a part of it. I knew that there was a lesson to learn from what was being shown to me in that furnace room. As the vision unfolded, the ore began settling down while excitement and anticipation arose in my spirit. I did not know why I was experiencing those feelings or what might be going to take place, but nonetheless, I was excited. Then I couldn't see the raw ore anymore because the scum was coming to the top. It looked like a horrible film surfacing, and something inside me was repulsed by its appearance. With that sight before my eyes, an anguished scream came out of me, and I heard myself crying out to God, "Turn off the fire. It's too hot. It's too hot. I can't take it. Turn it off." I was no longer an onlooker, but a participant. I was the pot with molten ore, and I was experiencing more pain and agony than I ever thought I could stand. While screaming out, I saw a hot, sweaty hand with protruding blood vessels come down and turn off the valve to the fire. Even though all I saw was the hand, I knew that it belonged to a workman that was a master at what he was doing. My spirit understood that he had a determination to see this process through to its completion. As the flames were extinguished, the ore cooled, and I began to personally experience relief and great satisfaction of spirit because the flames no longer engulfed the pot. I felt that I can endure the battle once again as the melting ore cooled and formed a hard crust on its top. My spirit was satisfied, but I had no idea what was about to take place. Then I saw two hands, one with a chisel and one with a hammer. The hammer came down with great force on the chisel, and when the chisel hit that crust to tear away the impurities, it was as if my whole body shook with pain, and that pain was worse than the pain of the fire. I screamed in anguish again to God, "Oh God, turn the fire back on. That was better than this chisel and hammer. Forgive me for asking you to turn off the fire. Forgive me, oh God." As that chisel just kept chipping away at the crust, my body convulsed in agony from the pain. Cries poured forth from my soul and body, pleading for mercy and begging forgiveness for my complaints about the fire. I could see the sweaty hands of the workman who was determined to remove the impurities from the ore. I was aware that by one way or another, he was going to see the task through to the finish. There were no other options, so he continued chipping away at the surface scum of the pot. He knew that the ore must be freed from all that wasn't completely refined. If it was going to be accomplished by hammer and chisel or by the refiner's fire, it didn't stop him from his mission. It was at this point that I clearly understood there was no other way out for me. This was the refiner's fire. It was not the devil's work, but the Father's hand on the fire in my life. My mind brought to remembrance that I had previously given the Lord permission to invade my life with whatever it would take, because I wanted to come forth as gold. I knew that I must pass this test, and now my desire was to cooperate with the Master Workman's mission. I, too, wanted to see that ore cleansed by fire and not by the hammer and chisel. Suddenly, the chisel broke through the hard crust, revealing gold underneath the slag. I had been unable to see the gold in the ore until then. Then the hand came back down and turned on the fire. It seemed to me as if it was an eternity as I longingly waited, desiring to see up close the area that the chisel had broken away. This would now become a test of patience in my life. My desire was to be cleansed immediately, but the Master knew this process could not be hurried. It had to be completed in proper timing so that the ore wouldn't have to go through the partial process over and over again. Only he knew how hot and how long the fire must burn to bring the impurities to the top. Finally, I could detect movement like a shaking over the top of the ore, and the chiseled areas that had revealed the gold closed back over. I began to get excited because I realized the time of purification was near. Sure enough, when that area closed in and the ripples came over the top, the hand reappeared with a wide instrument like a scraper. It dropped down on the top of that ore, and with one clean sweep, all of the sludge was removed. I was amazed how quickly the process ended once it reached that point. The ore that was revealed was crystalline clear. Its color was a golden cherry red, through which one could see straight to the bottom because it was so pure and transparent. Through the vision, the Lord gave me clear understanding of what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 7, verse 13, when he talked about sin being exceedingly sinful. My Father in heaven was showing me that the sin in my life had become exceedingly sinful and grievous to him. Up to this time in my life, much of my crying, groaning, praying, and travailing while striving against sin was only because the sin was grievous to me personally. I had not yet seen how much it grieved the heart of my heavenly Father. That was my transgression. Unknowingly, by my own will, I had tried to cleanse the impurities in my life. What I didn't realize was that they were being pressed deeper into my spirit and just hiding. Then, in my times of weakness or affliction, they would resurface, causing me to say, "Where are these thoughts and deeds coming from?" I thought they had been dealt with and eliminated. Prior to the vision, I had not yet seen my sins and weaknesses as my Father sees them. Now I understood that the refining process was no longer a threat of painful punishment, but rather the Father's opportunity to remove the impurities that sin had built up in my life. The vision assured me of his careful observation of my every need while in the refining process, and that he will give me all the grace I need every time it is needed. I became confident that I could trust both his heart and his hands on my life, knowing that he will do whatever it takes to refine me so that I can be of greater service to him. Amen.
Amen. Yep, that's true. That's true. You said something a while ago, you were talking about the kids that would come out of that in a godly way because they'd been broken. David said something here quite some time ago. Somebody asked him about, well, why would God allow abortion, you know, all over the world? And his answer was this, and it was very profound to me. And it was that he allows abortion. These kids that are aborted are in heaven. Now, how do we know where they would go if they had not been aborted? You know, most of them would have been in hell. So that just made all the sense in the world to me, you know, not that God did it, but that these children are all in heaven being taught, you know, by Jesus that have been aborted. And there's been millions of them aborted. So anyway, I thought that was quite profound for me. Go ahead, Anna.
I just wanted to say, I don't remember if it was David or someone else about the aborted kids once, but helped me said that, you know, not that you would want them to be aborted, but amount, you know, now they're in heaven compared to living a life with parents who don't want them that bad.
Yep.
And also, that verse we're talking about, James 1:2, I think it says, yep. Count it all joy when you fall into manifold temptations. And I was thinking about that, and you know, if we didn't have temptations, we wouldn't stumble, but we wouldn't overcome either. And I looked up the phrase "to him that overcometh" because I was thinking of that specific verse. To I will give to him to sit in my throne. And five verses came up, and they're all in Revelation. And it just with that phrase, to him that overcometh, to him will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. To him that overcometh, or he that overcometh, shall not be hurt of the second death. To him that overcometh, to him will I give of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and upon the stone a new name written, which no one knoweth but he that receiveth it. And he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works to the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. And he that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame, and sat down with my Father in his throne. So there's a lot of promises for overcoming, and we wouldn't have an opportunity to overcome if we didn't have temptations.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Those circumstances come up there to work out patience in us, don't they? Amen. So a lot of times we look at the circumstances instead of looking at the Word, and we get our mind and our eyes off the Word of God, and then we get all frazzled, you know. Oh, this is happening. This is happening. Glory to God. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Somebody call up everybody and let's pray, you know. Or let's do something. You know, I got to do this. I got to do that. No, God does all this. Here, Isaiah 45:7 says this. This is God talking. He says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord that doeth all these things. And then verse 16 in chapter 54, he said, I have created the waster to destroy, and no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Man, that ought to make us solid in Christ right there. There ain't no weapon that's formed against us that will prosper. And so when we understand that, and we understand that God creates these circumstances around us, then there ain't nothing to worry about, is there? All we have to do is endure in our faith and act on that faith until the end. That's all. That's all we got to do. Now, it sounds easy, doesn't it? I know there's trials coming. There's big trials. Some of you are going through big trials. But it's just a trial. That's all it is. And when you understand that it's God doing it because he loves you, he wants to manifest perfection in our life, then it's not a big deal. We just allow him to do it. We just sit back, kick back, and say, okay, this is God. I know this has got to be God. You know, we've all gotten those telephone calls. Says, man, this is happening. You got to get over here right now. You know, this is, man, if you don't do here, this is going to happen. If you don't do this, this is going to happen. No, if I don't pray, that might happen. But if I pray, that ain't going to happen. Because I know my God's going to answer my prayers because it says in the Word of God, Mark 11:24. And then you go ahead and cite those verses that you know. When I pray, and I believe that I'm going to receive what I prayed for, then I'm going to have it. Then that's all we got to do. As long as you're in the will of God, I believe it. These circumstances are to try your faith, to test your faith. Are you going to trust God, or are you going to trust what your eyeballs are looking at? All right. Anybody else? It all drops back to is God really sovereign or not? That's all. It comes right down to that right there. That's the easiest thing you can look at. Is God sovereign or is he not sovereign? And if he's sovereign, then what are we worried about? Now, don't get me wrong. There's things that happen that we might get a little bit anxious about it, but we shouldn't get all out of sorts to where we just go and run back to man to get it fixed. God doesn't want that. He wants us to run to him and what his word says and believe him for what the things, whatever it is, it comes up in front of us. Y'all have been through those kind of trials where, man, you just slide through. Some of them you just slide right on through and you believe God for them. Sometimes you get sidetracked and you get your eyes on the problem rather than God. And you mess up a little bit, then you, just like I did with that tiller the other day, I go ahead and work on this tiller all day long without praying, and I'm working on the same thing, beating my head against the wall, you know. And finally I said, okay, this is enough. And so I just stepped back, prayed. Within 30 minutes, I had that tiller going. So, and that's what God's teaching us. He's teaching us to trust him implicitly. Amen. Anybody got any more good scriptures along this line?
Yeah, Michael, Denny?
Yeah, go ahead, Denny.
Yeah, further on in James 1, it's 12 or so. I'm having a hard time seeing my, I'll read it. But we have a couple different persons mentioned here. And the one who endures the trial and overcomes, and then one who doesn't. And it's maybe one of the reasons why we get tempted or tested, because there's a desire that's there that God wants to deal with. And we may stumble, we may fall at it, but it's something that God is getting at. But in so James 1, it says, happy is the person who remains faithful under trials, because when he succeeds in passing such a test, he will receive as a reward the life which God has promised to those who love him. If a person is tempted by such trials, he must not say, this temptation comes from God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But a person is tempted when he is drawn away and trapped by his own evil desire. Then, when the evil desire conceives and gives birth to sin, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And so God has a purpose. And just one more in 1 Corinthians 10:13, says, as whoever thinks he is standing firm, better be careful that he does not fall. Every test that you have experienced is the kind that normally comes to people. But God keeps his promise, and he will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. At the time you are put to the test, he will give you the strength to endure it, and so provide for you a way out. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. That's right. He provides a way out for all of us.
Amen.
Praise God. 1 Peter 4:12. It said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which cometh upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened unto you. But insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, rejoice that at the revelation of his glory also you may rejoice with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are ye, because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God resteth upon you. Praise God. Man, him shouting words right there. I'm telling you. That'll preach too. Here's another one. I'm trying to check to make sure that nobody's got their hand raised. So Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. I know how to be abased. I know also how to abound. And in everything and in all things have I learned the secret, both to be filled and to be hungry, both to abound and to be in want. Well, what was his answer? What was his secret? What do you think Paul's secret was there? He knew that if God's for us, who's going to be against you? That's what he knew. If God is for me, who can come against me? Man, God's at my back. He's at my side. He's at this side. He's in front of me. He's all around me. I ain't got nothing to worry about. And we need to remember that. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Praise God. All right, somebody else had something ready. They wanted to say.
I was thinking too, Michael, I think Paul had learned to really, I think he'd entered into a place where he learned how to behold the glory of the Lord as in a mirror and keep his eyes fixed on that no matter what he was going through.
Amen. That's something we need to do every day, you know. If you listen to many of David's teachings, that verse pops up quite often. That's the great faith verse. 1 Corinthians 3:18.
And speaking of the subject fall, you know, I was thinking on Psalm 91:3 says he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And that, you know, I've thought many times, well, okay, so that's saying I'm going to be caught in the snare of the fowler, which, you know, is going through temptations. Temptations like to bring forth and expose in us what is in there that God wants to deal with. And then we have a choice of whether we're going to give into the flesh or give into the Lord. It can be anything from going through suffering. It can be anything from suffering physical pain and turning to, alcohol or drugs of any sort for relief, or really coming to a place of having an understanding of the Lord says that salvation, that I have salvation for this, and I want that. I really want it to attain unto that, and I don't want the salvation of the world anymore, so I'm going to hold on to the Lord through the pain and agony of this until he manifests that, in any number of ways. So that's encouraged me, because I've been thinking, you know, we're going to go through many trials. It's going to bring us through fiery trials, and when I get caught in the snare of the fowler, I want to be looking up. I want to have my eyes fixed on the Lord so that he will deliver me, and I'll come out with the crown. I'll come out with the purification that he has laid up for me. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Go ahead, Robert.
If it be okay with you, I've got a prayer that I came up with for, we've heard about this mass witchcraft attack against the president where the witches were casting spells. Y'all heard about that, right?
Yeah. We prayed against that the other night.
Okay. Well, I came up with a prayer. If you
go right ahead, brother.
Okay. Is it okay to screen share it?
Absolutely.
Okay, let me go screen share it. Boom. Okay. There we go. Y'all see it?
Yep, we see it.
All right. Let me get this over so I can finish reading it. In the name, the authority, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we agree with and send this prayer throughout the earth and the heavens to stand against this mass witchcraft attack directed over the next few days against President Trump, his family and friends, his advisors and his cabinet, and us, whether the effects are intended to be immediate or delayed. We are seated with the heavenlies. We are seated in the heavenlies with God, are saved by Jesus Christ, and have the Holy Ghost indwelling us. We have power and the victory against Satan and his minions, agents, allies, and servants because of the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ. It is finished. They are defeated. We are victors. We come in his power, not ours. We cover ourselves and every person coming in prayer against this mass witchcraft attack with the blood of the Lamb of God. We loose warrior angels to protect and guard us. We armor ourselves with the whole armor of God and ask the Holy Ghost to turn our swords of the Spirit into flaming swords of power, might, and swiftness. We lock our shields of faith into a collective shield wall that will cover every man, woman, and child coming in prayer and intercession against this mass witchcraft attack that may be directed against us at any time or from any place. We are more than conquerors in this battle. We rebuke and bind the intentions, efforts, and works of every participant in this mass witchcraft attack to automatic and total failure. We lose angels of God's choice to mar every letter, marking, drawing, sigil, and symbol, confuse every syllable, vowel, and word muttered, spoken, chanted, or prophesied, and block and disrupt every bodily gesture, movement, and stance of every one of these practitioners that are participating in this mass spell, whether they are solitary or joined in a group or coven. We cover every instrument of witchcraft used with the blood of Jesus Christ to discharge its power and disconnect it from its satanic power source. God, please destroy every instrument of witchcraft being used for this attack. We ask you to crush their stones and crystals, splinter and break their wands and rods, shatter their mirrors and crystal balls, rend and tear their clothing and regalia, render powerless any doll, image, or effigy being utilized, and otherwise make all these instruments evil, useless forever and ever. We cover every magical hex mark, pentagram, hexagram, septagram, octagram, circle, triangle, square, pyramid, cube, platonic, solid, or matrix used to gather and concentrate their magical power with the blood of the Lamb of God in order to discharge and disrupt that power. We cover every participant in this mass witchcraft attack with the blood of the Lamb of God to nullify their personal power and disconnect them from their satanic power source. We also loose escape and evasion into every animal and human that would be used in this mass witchcraft attack as a blood sacrifice, and ask that warrior angels be loosed to protect those intended sacrifices from capture and release them if they are already being held. We bind to utter failure and fruitlessness every single charm, chant, incantation, spell, curse, and ritual that is coming from any source, be it human, demonic, or fallen angel, against President Trump, his family, friends, and his cabinet. By no means shall any weapon formed against them succeed. Lord, we loose legions of armored and armed warrior angels of sufficient authority, rank, power, and number to go attack immediately every demon, devil, or fallen angel sent forth from these witches or that are aiding and or being commanded by them. We loose singing angels singing praises and songs unto God and Jesus Christ to fill the houses, buildings, groves, convocations, conference calls, chat rooms, websites, social media sites, and every gathering place where these witches are coming together for their evil work. We loose civil war between every member and every coven so that they will attack each other with rage and fury. We bind every thread and knot of their magic to unravel like a rotting cloth. we hereby cancel and nullify every demonic assignment against President Trump, his family and friends, his advisors in cabinet, and us also. We loose 1,000 Shekinah-like missiles at every single participant in this mass witchcraft attack, ground zero being their hearts, minds, and souls. Lord, blind them as you did Saul on the road to Damascus. Break their concentration, distract their minds, turn off their electricity, put out their fires, storm on their possessions, bring fire down on their groves, impede, hinder, and hamper them in every way, shape, form, or fashion, pleasing to you, O Lord of hosts. We also pray for the salvation of every participant in this mass witchcraft attack, be they small or great, that in your mercy, Lord, you will convict them of their sins and break every one of their hearts with godly sorrow, which works repentance unto their salvation. To God alone be the glory. Amen.
Amen. I agree. In Jesus' name.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. You remember that old saying we used to have, Robert, when we was kids? I'm rubber and you're glue. Everything you say bounces off of me and sticks back to you.
Yeah, I sort of remember that. It's a long time.
Yeah, that's what we praying just now. Amen. Hi, Tracy. Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's a done deal. Thank you, Lord, that those covens have been scattered to the ends of the earth.
Hallelujah. In
Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, that's good. That's a good prayer. Where'd you find that?
I wrote it.
You wrote it. Well, praise God. You got my email?
Sir?
You got my email?
No, I sure don't.
How come?
I don't know. You can get it to me just when you, because I plan to come up Saturday.
Oh, okay. That'd be good.
And I'll
bring that copy, will you?
I'll try to do that, sir. And, you know, I'll call you that morning so you can get me the address.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, look up Sandy and Jeff's address for me right quick. You know how to do that?
I'll try to be quick.
Okay. Praise God.
Hey, Michael, will you get that prayer? I'd like that too, please. I'll send you an email just to remind you, but I'd really like that too. I praise the Lord that you prayed that, Robert, because that was on my heart to pray that. So, and I'd like that to pray with a men's fellowship group I'm part of weekly here. So I'll just send you a little email. If you send it to me too, whenever you get it, Michael, I appreciate that.
Yeah. How much money you got, Chad? I'm just asking, man. I'm just saying.
that's classified.
Okay, buddy. Yeah, I'll send it to you as soon as I get it. You want one, Denny? I'll tell you what, Robert, if you don't mind, I'll just send everybody a copy of it.
Yeah, because I was going to ask the same thing and send that to me as well.
Okay.
Me too.
All right, we'll send it to everybody.
Hey, can you just put it in the chat, Robert?
Okay, good.
Just cut and paste
now
it.
You don't need a
chat.
Reminder.
Oh.
Yeah, but how do you keep it in the chat?
You guys just save the chat. You see where it says save chat down there?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if he just cuts and pastes it off there and then puts save in chat, or just, you know, press enter, then you guys just press save in chat. You'll each have a copy of it.
Yeah. So how do you do that from a phone?
You got an email address?
I tell you what, I'll go ahead and email it to everybody.
Okay, yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it'll probably be Sunday before I do it because Robert's going to bring it up with him. Unless he puts it on this chat thing.
Well, I can take care of that right now, brother Michael. What's your email?
It's Michael. With the little m at ubm1.org.
At ubm1.org. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm gonna put it right there in the thing right now. I'm going to send it to you right this minute.
Okay.
Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
Is it 2453?
Yeah, it could be.
I'm looking on Google Maps, so that's why I'm kind of guessing.
Robert, write this down.
Well, let me get a pen. Hang on.
Okay. Has anybody else got a word they'd like to share about what we've been talking about tonight?
Yeah, I have something else, Michael.
Okay, go ahead, Matt. Denny?
And I kind of learned this last week. I listened to one of David's teachings, and it really spoke to me. But, you know, that in part of the problem we have is you know, as Christians, and is we're not reckoning the old man, the old nature dead. And we do that by faith. And if we don't do that, then our five senses become very active. And, you know, the sight, the smell, the taste, the feel, the touch. And these are also spiritual things. They can be spiritually, that way. in the teaching, David shared when Joshua and them, when they entered the promised land, they took Ai, then they made the mistake with Gibeon, and they made that, you know, peace covenant with him. And then it was at that point in Joshua 10, where the king of Jerusalem and he gathered four other towns, and they gathered their armies together because they thought maybe together we could defeat these Israelites coming across. And anyway, so the battle went on and everything, and in the whole process, the five kings took hiding in a cave, and when Joshua found that out, he told the Israelites, put a big rock over the cave, and we'll deal with them later. And and David reckoned that to our five senses, that they need to be put to death. If we don't put our five senses to death by faith, they are expressions of the old nature, of the old man. And if we have a very active five senses in our life, we're going to just be troubles and troubles and troubles, you know, all the time. But if we reckon we have to use our faith, put that old man to death. So then after they gained the victory over the five kings, then Joshua, they came back to the cave where the five kings were. They took the stone away and they brought the five kings out. And then he had the Israelites come around, the leaders, and he had them put their foot on their necks, which he likened to silencing. He silenced them, you know, took authority over them and silenced them. And he was taking authority, you know, for us, it's the five senses, and they must be silenced. Well, then he ends up killing the five kings. They throw him back in the cave, and they pile a bunch of stones above the mouth of the cave. And it said it was that way and they remained that way. But we have to put the old man has to be put to death, and it would eliminate a lot of our, you know, some of our problems we face. Especially if we're very active in this part of our life, you know, we reckon that area dead by faith. So, hallelujah.
Amen. That's exactly right. Thank you, Lord. Tracy, can you tell me how I can take an individual in the room here and just get a message to him only? Is that a way to do that?
They're called breakout rooms.
Private message.
Oh, you mean private message them?
Yeah.
Yeah, just go down to 2. I'm sorry, I'm not Tracy. You won't hurt, but my audio's on mine, so.
You don't sound like Tracy.
Yeah, but what, is this better?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Now go down to everyone. And oh, no, you know what? You can't, actually. You have it locked on your profile. You need to go to your profile settings and allow instant messaging, allow private messaging.
Private messaging.
Right? You don't have that option clicked on your profile settings.
Okay.
Which means I can't talk smack about you to Tim or Willie.
Yeah,
well,
you got to go in the main.
Yeah.
Meeting.
Everybody sees it.
Yeah,
so
that's the reason I did that. There's a reason I did that, and I didn't want people talking behind my back about me.
Well, it's hard to pass notes, man, but since you gave everybody the email address, it's a lot easier.
Right.
Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else? It looks like Robert's putting that thing on the chat thing there.
Yes, sir. That's done.
Okay. So hey, you can.
I'm sorry, go on, please.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, actually, I was asking, you know, I haven't had a lot to say because we've been eating dinner. But, you know, something that came across, let me see if I find it. I'd like to play another video for you that I thought was really cool. I cannot find it in high definition. It's like 3 or 4 minutes long. But okay. It came out in like 2010 or something like that. So it was right around the time that they're trying to get, let me see if I can find it real quick and I'll throw it up here. You guys will dig it. But it's a real good depiction of how the devil actually talks to us. And, you know, it's a, hold on, let me see if this is a good version. I don't want subtitles, so hold on. Let me see if I find one real quick and give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right.
I do want to share something if y'all can hear me.
Yes, sir.
It was concerning when we prayed the prayer against witchcraft. I just wanted to share that there was this 2-hour testimony that I was listening to from a person that was, you know, a witch doctor who was known as a professor in the witchcraft who practiced 10 different arts of witchcraft. And, you know, he could see with, you know, the demonic spiritual eyes or, you know, and he said, when you walk up the street, no one had to tell me who was a Christian. I automatically knew who was a Christian because in the spirit, they appeared differently. And he talked about 3 different types. Unfortunately, I can't remember the first 2, but I can remember the last one. And he spoke about the ones that pray often, that have a sacrificial prayer life. And he said that they appeared as consuming fire, as bright consuming fire. And he said, and so much that you didn't want to walk near them so that the power and the spirit that was on them wouldn't interfere with their, you know, power and with their, you know, spirit or spirits that they were carrying. But I found that really interesting. And, you know, that just praying that prayer reminded me of that because I had to listen to this guy like 3 times over. But the way you wouldn't think that, you know, a prayer life like that would make you, he said, you know, most Christians don't know how much power they have. And he really got into, you know, how witches really study to know how much power they have. I mean, he had, you know, he would, you know, cast spells that where he can cause demons to appear in different forms, dogs, whatever form, human. And they would, you know, send those different demons out to bring sicknesses on people's lives, to kill people, to bring a curse on their business, to bankrupt them, to do all manner of evil against those individuals. But for sure, you know, having that sacrificial prayer life gives you a lot of power against that demonic, you know, spiritual witchcraft realm, however you want to put it. But his testimony was really interesting. About 2 hours long, but I really enjoyed it. I think I'll listen to it again.
What's the guy's name? Is that the guy that got body slammed down in that praying church and came to Christ because of it?
No. He tried to come against the pastor of the church. And when he sent out 2 demons to confront this pastor, they both were powerful demons, but one couldn't approach because of the blood of Christ. And the other one couldn't approach because there was a consuming fire around the church. And it was a demon of fire, but the demon of fire said to him, "This is a fire that consumes all fire." Mm-hmm. And he said, the demon said, "I cannot approach. I will not approach." And the man was like, "What do you mean? You're made of fire." He said, "No, but this is the fire that consumes all fire." And I thought that was just really powerful.
Amen.
But eventually, you know, the Lord confronted this witch doctor. And the first time the Lord confronted him like probably four times. But as he was coming close to, you know, the Lord bringing him, you know, removing those things out of his life, he sent a dove into his room. And he tried to kill the dove. And the dove spoke with a man's voice. Because, you know, if you practice that, you know, that type of craft, according to, you know, that would be a dove flying in your room and you practice the dark arts was a sign that you were going to die that day. And so the dove spoke to him in man's voice and said, why are you trying to kill me? What evil have I done unto you? And the dove asked him that twice. And, you know, the man was so full of demons, he didn't recognize, you know, he was kind of like Balaam when, you know, the donkey spoke to him. And Balaam said, if I had a sword, I would run you through. I would kill you. Or if I had a spear, however he put it. And this man was the same way. He was so full of demons, he could not recognize every single time that Christ spoke to him until Christ told those demons to shut up in him. And then all of that demonic power in those demons left him. And then he understood it was the Lord. But it was awesome. Awesome testimony. Awesome change in his life. I'll try to send it to you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, that sounds like an awesome testimony.
Yeah, it's really powerful. In there, he even, you know, he killed two Christians with a demon spirit, but he lost that battle because the pastor who was there, you know, he said to the Lord, he quoted a scripture to the Lord, kind of like Moses did. And, you know, immediately, you know, the Lord brought those two individuals back to life. And so, like I said, there's a lot of powerful testimony in what he had to say. And so if anyone wants to listen to that, I'll try to get that to you. But we got a lot of power against the power of witchcraft. We really do.
Amen. You ready, Jeremy?
Yes, sir. Okay, it's about 5 minutes long. But it's going to go in line exactly with what Willie said about the demons and whatnot. Now, picture this. This story is about multiple personality disorder, right? And it's done in a sense of, well, you'll see. But just picture every single one of these voices as a demon. And this is how they control our flesh based off what we've given ourselves over to. We don't even realize, right? So it's really interesting. It was done in 2002. So unfortunately, it was right before High Definition got really popular. It was an indie film. So it's got decent production value for the time, but transferred over to YouTube. Well, you'll see. So let's go here.
On your feet. Doctor wants to see you.
Let's go, Sam.
No trouble.
Joey and Bo. For weeks now we've been talking. You've introduced me to a lot of different people, each with a different name. So my question is, who am I speaking to now?
That doesn't matter. What matters is, how do I get out of this place?
Intimidation.
Next week you're up for evaluation. If it goes well, you'll qualify for a supervised release program and eventually...
I'm so sorry, Doctor.
I've done horrible things.
No, deny everything. Confess nothing.
I shall hand you the band-aid.
I'll take your head off.
understood you want to change. The only way you can get better is if you...
You work for the government. You're inside my head. You can read my thoughts. I'm being held here against my will.
You're here because the alternate cells inside your head have taken control.
That's hilarious. Wait, are you a real doctor? Give me a break. I know who I am.
Then tell me.
John Jacob Jingle Irishman. That's my name too.
Whenever we go out, the people always show up. It's John Jacob Jingle
Irishman.
Never amounts to nothing. Never has or never will. See, that's why they're here.
Mary, life is
called D. You said D. Does your name start with a D?
That's my name too.
Oh, now you
We need help.
His feet are asleep.
All of you, quiet. I am here to help you. But I can't do that if you won't listen. The only way you're getting out of here is if we work together. Now, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
D is for Daniel. My name is Daniel.
Good to have you back, Daniel.
Thank you, Doctor. It's good to be back.
It's been a long time.
Yes, it has.
Now we can get back to work.
Hello, Daniel. I'm Dr. Blake. As you know, you'll be up for evaluation next week, and if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a few questions. So, how are we feeling today?
I feel fine.
Doctor.
Yeah, go ahead.
You notice how she put her hand up on him, right? At the very end of that, that's, if you look at that, that would be the strong man controlling all of the, you know, the doctor that's controlling everything. That's the carnal, that's the deep-rooted thing, right? Now, multiple personality, that's the dominant personality there that masquerades as a strong man. That's really who our inner self is. And we have all those emotions. We have anger. We have that rejection. We can't live up to our parents, right? We have that weeping sense. All of those make up every single person. Some people give it over to multiple personality disorder. They're so hindered. They're so split from some traumatic event that they've literally got that issue. They can't control it. But generally, we all have those types of emotions, right? And you see the rage and you see the insecurity and whatnot. And Christ is none of that. But the devil always tells us specifically that we need all of that, and he'll control all of those for us, right? And so that's exactly what she was doing in that. So I don't know if it really spoke to you like it did me. But when I saw that, it was amazing how the people would talk and it'd come right out of his mouth. You know, I've been victim of that several times because I've given myself over to it. It's like the filter in my head just goes, and the thought, I can't even think, I can't even begin. When you get so, you ever done something dumb whenever you're real mad, right? Be angry and sin not. Right, and that's exactly what happens when Jesus, when you get your filter all gone because you're giving yourself over to that emotion, you get mad and you want to tell that person off across the table, right? When you're overcome by grief and you just want to cry about it, but see, Christ is none of that. And the devil will specifically, did you see what they said? Be quiet. We're trying to sort all this out. We're trying, you know, we're going to masquerade because your evaluation's coming up. And that's how we go through life, you know, evaluated by other people. And then he controls all that stuff. We give ourselves over to him, you know? So I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. I want to share it with you folks.
Well, that's the great thing about being a Christian, because as a Christian, we have authority over those personalities, those that anger and all of that other stuff that have hindered us before. And that's why God gave us the Word of God, He went to the cross for us. So we don't have to. So we can take dominion. We can take authority over all of that stuff. And just like we've been talking about tonight, all of those things that Jeremy just showed us there can go by the wayside through our obedience to the Word of God. Amen. That was good.
It's like a puppet, right? Yep. That's really what we are, is we're puppets, and they control our emotions because they're in our emotions. So something triggers us, we get irritated, right? We want to, you know, you ever talk to a bill collector? They're not the most personable people in the world. And they can set the stage for you if they catch you early in the morning, right? And so every guy, you're going to be Thursday, you're going to have a case of the Mondays in that area because you've already been triggered in that emotion. You have to give it over to Christ. You know, like I said before, and, you know, the Lord dealt with me about that, casting my cares upon him. That doesn't mean picking up ESPN Magazine, Better Homes and Gardens. It means picking up the Bible and reading that and finding my solace in his word. Then I'm casting my cares. I'm not just whining. I'm not just praying, right? And I'm not saying just praying, we're supposed to, but, you know, you pray, then go relax and fill your heart up with his love. You're waving. Didn't know.
Yeah, we was waving at Robert. He had to go.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was like, hey, time out here, like, you know, the airplane cones or something. I didn't know what was going on.
No, he was waving at us, and I was waving back. Matt was waving at him, and we wasn't trying to shut you up.
Oh, I thought maybe my voice somehow got distorted. No. That's cool. If I sound like Darth Vader, just, you know, let me know. Need a little bit more deliverance. I might have to have you guys pray for me.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, yeah, that was pretty indicative of the way we are at times. Before we ever come to Christ, that's the way we are. But when we come to Christ, those things go by the wayside. We hopefully, anyway, as who was it had the overcoming verse? That was Anna, wasn't it? So, praise God. Praise God for that. Okay, what I got, we got a few minutes left. Has anybody got anything else they'd like to share about what we're talking about? It's been good. I like this when everybody participates. Everybody but Jackie didn't participate, but that's okay. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, Jackie. It's okay, huh?
I was here. I was having a meek and quiet spirit.
That's good. That's good.
Amen.
That's always
good. That's what women are supposed to have, a meek and quiet spirit.
Awesome. Hey, Stan and Claudia, how y'all doing? Awesome. Can't hear you. You're muted, but that's okay. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to share on this subject we've got tonight?
Yeah.
You fall?
I did. I dropped the tab.
Okay.
Sorry. I don't know how to save on this tab.
You don't know how to what?
I don't know how. To save a chat on this tablet. So if you can send, you know, the brother's prayer over to me in email too, I would like that.
Yeah, I'll send it to you when I get it.
Okay.
And send it to you. I think he's going to send it to me in my email. And when he does, I'll copy everybody.
Yeah. I was going to ask Barbara if she's on how the flooding was down there.
Oh, it's all gone. It receded. It's good now.
Hey, that video you sent me, was that your next door neighbor that was standing out there talking to the reporter?
Yeah.
Oh, y'all had a little water, huh?
Yeah, just a little, huh?
Yeah, that's a beachfront property there, didn't you?
This is the fifth time that it's flooded like that. It's really getting worse. We have a creek right behind our house or our trailer. And it just overflows like that when it rains a lot.
Hey, Barbara, it's time to go to higher ground, girl.
Amen.
Did you say you have a crack behind your trailer?
Crick.
Crack.
Oh,
she calls them a crick. It's a creek.
Okay, gotcha.
That's right. I'm up here in Pittsburgh.
Sorry. Yeah. I didn't understand why you had to move because of a crack. I'm like, that sounds like a foundation issue.
No, a crick. Or a creek.
Yeah, we say creek too.
They had a river going through their front yard and all around their house. It was on the news too.
I couldn't tell which trailer was yours from that video. I didn't know where you were in relation to the lady that wanted the boat.
Well, I'm like, you couldn't see mine because mine was in the back. I'm the last trailer back there, but she's right over from me to my left.
So you had a tsunami, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We got just a couple of minutes left. Does anybody have a subject for Tuesday night that you'd like to talk about?
Michael, can I just share one last verse about tonight?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Acts 14:22. Paul and Barnabas had left Derbe to go to Iconium, Lystra, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So that's good. Our tribulation is going to take us into the kingdom of God if we allow it to.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Chad, would you dismiss us with a prayer?
Sure, I can do that.
Okay.
Lord, thank you, Father, for your continuing good work in us, and that you're fulfilling your word that says you will complete the good work you've started in us, Lord. And I thank you for bringing more to our understanding, Lord, as we seek you. Your word also says that you'll perfect that which concerns us. And Father, I pray that you would give us the grace to continually yield to you more and more. And as you've been speaking to me many times recently, to yield means to slow down and proceed with caution. That's what you've been speaking to me, Lord, that we'd just learn to wait to be directed of you in our day-to-day life, moment by moment, Lord, so that you can quicken this purifying work you're doing in us, Lord. I pray that we'd be found ready as your bride, Lord, to allow you to be glorified through these vessels in the way that you deserve, Lord, and are worthy of, both now and in the time to come. And I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray for a hedge of protection about each one on here tonight and throughout this, the rest of this week. And that you would continue to work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure, Lord, and to give us the grace to recognize our trials when they rise up, Lord, when they come to us, when we go through them, that we would recognize them for what they are, that you would quicken us, that you'd quicken your word to our remembrance, and give us the grace to be obedient, Lord, unto the complete death of ourselves, Lord. Your word says that we can have 100-fold. Lord, you've given us this revelation and this understanding so that we can attain to it, Lord, somehow by your grace. And it is possible with you, and we declare that this is possible with you, that we can attain unto the 100-fold glory, Lord, and that's what we want. So we pray for your grace, wisdom, and understanding to attain to that, Lord, for your glory, and that we would rejoice and learn to rejoice more and more in our trials, Lord, as we recognize them for what they are and yield to you, Lord, to allow you to remove all the dross, that you may shine forth from us, Lord. And we thank you for that. And prepare us for the next time we come together. Prepare our hearts for what you want to do, Lord. And continue your awesome work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what, I got an email from a lady that wanted us to talk about How do we get that faith? Like, now, this lady had a toothache, and man, it was just giving her all a fit. And her faith was wavering because of the pain that she was getting, she was having. And she wanted to go to the dentist, but she didn't want to go to the dentist. You know what I'm talking about? And so we'd like to talk about faith and how to endure in these painful trials next week. Okay?
That's a good one.
Yeah. So let's kind of give it some thought. And y'all come up with some good verses and some good testimonies, and I think we'll all learn something. So praise God. Good
night. Can you send us an email on that, Michael?
I will. I certainly will.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless.
It sounds like you were describing me, Michael.
No, that wasn't you.
Oh, really? How is that? Because that's exactly what I was.
I know. Now that you mentioned it, I remember that. But no, it wasn't you. It was.
By the way, praise the Lord. The Lord healed my tooth. Well, three of my teeth.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. No, this is another lady.
Yeah.
So this ought to be a good one. So everybody come up with something.